Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, give the Lord a hand, will you? And I'll just tell you, everywhere, that's a little much, but so many places I go, I run into people that either Guts people have, that I've run into that are just doing incredible things for God, or lives that have been changed. I mean, it's just shocking. You know, I talked to a man today that's been a part of the church for many years, and he came to church here because he'd made a mistake in his life. And if you weren't here Sunday, please get the podcast or listen to the service from Sunday. I just talked about mistakes and how they make us feel, and that God uses people that have made mistakes. But the idea of this is that this man made a mistake and he came to church, and man, he got up on his feet and he was running his race, and man, he was sold out, and people, and then kind of waned a little bit and veered off course a little bit. Let me just tell you, and if you're taking notes, write this down. Just write, don't veer off course, okay? And you know when you are. You really do. You don't have to have an accountability partner or somebody to tell you you're veering off course. You know when you are, okay? God leads and guides us in all truth, okay? So the truth aspect of this, the peace kind of leaves our life a little bit. You know, I remember years and years ago, there was a guy that I was dear friends with, who was involved in the church. He came up to me and he said, man, there's strife in every area of my life. And he just looked at me. He had a wife and kids and a great home and a great job and ministry. And man, people loved him. But he felt like that strife was just surrounding him. And the Bible says where there's strife and contention, there's every evil work. And that every evil work is spiritually a violent raping that happens in your soul, okay? That's a little graphic, but that's what literally it is. And I took it and I said, oh man, oh brother, one of those things. And I might even prayed for him a little bit, but didn't really take into account the severity when somebody comes up to you and they say, because this isn't like I'm looking for somebody to minister to in my life. You know, Sandy and I have rich fields of ministry all around us. And so when something comes up, I have to be careful not to minimize it. Okay, and that one I probably did. I'm probably guilty. But this guy I talked to today, he was serving God and then veered a little bit off course and made another horrific mistake in his life. And it's like, oh my gosh, I've just ruined everything. And you know, he hasn't. But that's how it feels like with the mistakes in our life, with the mistakes that we've made. And you know, I look back at the Garden of Eden and God said, man, all of this is yours. He made man and he made woman in his image. And there are genders, okay? And there's two of them. That's it. But God made man and he made woman, and they're different. Men are different than women, and women ought to be like men, and men shouldn't be like women. And we need to have a distinction on this. But the thing about this is that God said, all of this is yours, and you partake of all of it. And I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to bear much fruit, and I want that fruit to remain, and I want you to multiply, and I want you to take dominion. And man, it's just a robust life. And the inspiration of it, he said, but this tree, don't partake of it. So what the enemy did is the enemy kept steering them toward that tree, okay? But Eve was susceptible to the serpent. The serpent was the most cunning of all of God's creatures. And this serpent, listen, didn't come up. It's not a snake that hissed and said, you know, go partake of the tree. It was with thoughts. It was in her mind. It's in her mind, those fiery thoughts were, you're not going to surely die. That's not going to happen. See, they had no idea about death. See, there's things that we have to understand. This life that we live, that man, you connect with God and you begin to serve God, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's so hard. I've got to adjust to this. Do you understand? Everyone you read about in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, had to adjust to it. It's a whole new life. God doesn't make you a better you. God makes you a new creation. See, it's not like the world. What the world wants to do is, Brian, make you a better you. Man, you don't need a better me. You need the God me. See, but we look at our lives and God said, don't trust it. Don't partake of this tree. Man, this tree's mine. Don't touch it. Well, what did she do? She didn't just touch it. She ate of it. And then she convinced Adam to eat of it. And Adam wanted to blame the woman and said, yeah, but it's this woman that you get. First he blamed the woman, then he blamed God for giving him the woman, and see, that's what happens. And see, but what it says there in early Genesis, all the way to the left of your Bible, what it says is that God made man, God made woman, and they were naked and they were good with it. The Bible says there was no shame. And I'll tell you what hit me when I was reading this is that we're not designed to carry shame. Are you listening to me here? You got to listen to Sunday because we're fallible. We make mistakes. You know, we got weak areas. We got blind spots. Dear God, I have multiple blind spots. I don't have 100 of them, but I got 5 or 6 of them. And then let me tell you, man, you guys driving with traffic, you got 5 or 6 blind spots, you're in danger most of the time, right? Right? Okay, so with your blind spots, you need somebody there. And let me tell you, I've got Sandy driving, she knows my blind spots when I'm driving. And I'll pull out, she'll go, Bill! And I'm like, Sandy, I saw him, but I probably really didn't. It just happened yesterday, didn't it, Sandy? I lied to you, Sandy. I lied yesterday. I said I saw him. How could I even preach tonight having lied to Sandy yesterday? No, but I did. She's like, Bill, like that. How do you know, that's how you do it. It's like it gets to the marrow in my bone when you do it. And I'm like, Sandy, I got this. I saw him. Yes, I must have. I had to have seen him because he was right there. Okay, I've got a thread of idiots still in me, and God's working on it, okay? God's doing a great work in my life. But God said, don't touch it. But let me just tell you what happened. When Adam ate of that, and then he realized that his excuses and the blames weren't getting him off the hook, let me tell you what swallowed him up was shame. And let me tell you, that's what the enemy's going to try to use in all of our lives, that we make mistakes, and there's things that are happening in our lives, and there's shame. But let me just tell you, you fast forward that thousands of years later, and God's got a plan, and that plan is Jesus. And let me tell you, we're on the great side of humanity, because we're on the side where the veil was rent, and we could hook up with Jesus now, and he can become Lord of our lives, and we could get to the God side of that veil where that shame gets stripped off us. See, we're not built for shame. So when you start being shamed, or when things start hitting you that it's like, oh my gosh. And I'm talking to this guy today and he goes, I feel so ashamed. And I'm like, yeah, you got to get over that. You know, the Bible talks about the sin in our life, and it talks about the shame. It even talks about death. The Bible says this about death. Like we lose loved ones. I've got my dad right now that's at the end of life. And it's like, oh my gosh, but I'm already preparing my heart. Man, he's going to heaven. It's a grand prize. Man, he and I have had a lengthy conversation, and he's got revelation of heaven. He's not fretting. He's not freaking out about anything. And he's prepared. He's ready for whatever. He always has been my whole life. He's down for whatever. But see, we've got to realize and understand now that death comes and death goes. When we want to grab a hold of it with that feeling, and it's the loss and the man, I should have done this. See, it's not just in physical death in people's lives, the people that we love. It's in mistakes we've made. It's in shame that we have in our life. See, we've got to let shame. Shame's our flesh is susceptible to shame. We've got to let shame come and let shame go. See, that's why the Bible says God's mercies are new every morning. Remember, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy is God holding off the things we do. Aren't you thanking God you don't live a life you deserve? Oh my gosh, I am. But see, we all want to talk about this mental toughness. Man, I'm mental toughness. Let me just tell you what reveals your mental toughness is how you react to things. And you might say, well, I'm just a big reactor. Yeah, you know what? We have to harness that. I don't mind the reaction. I love Sandy letting me know when I'm going to slam into somebody, because I've had my last car wreck. You know, I probably should, my limit has reached, most of them before as a Christian, but it's like I've had my last car wreck. It's like I don't need to have any more. I've had my quota in my heart. I feel like I've reached it. But see, we've got to look at this. We've got to understand how we react, how we respond. And see, here's how we need to respond, okay? And again, and I know some of you guys get tired of football terms, but you've got to read and react. Read and react. See, when we're reading the word, Matt played a lot of football. He played at OU. And Matt was one of those guys that man, he goes to OU, and there's people bigger, faster, stronger, older, the whole thing. But let me tell you, he became one of those players, one of those athletes. The coaching staff couldn't keep him off the field. He was on the punt team, punt return, kickoff, kicker return. He was on the PAT. He was on the field goal team. He played defense. And they're probably scratching their head trying to figure out where to put him on the offense. They want him on the field. He was a gamer. And see, but why? Because he knew how to react. Why? Because he knew how to read. He could be in the right place at the right time. And see, that's what God wants us in our life. That's what church does for you. See, you're hearing this message tonight. It's Spirit-led. See, Romans 8:1 is there, therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Listen, whether you fail or succeed, there's no condemnation when you're in Christ Jesus. There's therefore now no condemnation. Yeah, but I've been a drug addict. I get it. Yeah, but I was a prostitute. Yeah, but I'm a criminal. Yeah, but I'm a, man, let me just tell you, that becomes your testimony, and you're able to tell people, man, this is who I was, but this is who I am. Now, I'm going to do that again, and that's when you're going to cheer, okay? This is who I was, but this is who I am. See, and that's the goodness of God. Jesus didn't come for the wealth, didn't come for the healthy. He came for the sick. See, you're sitting in an emergency room in a hospital right now. And some of you guys have got your act together. So now this message that you're hearing may be a message for you to get through you for other people. Does that make sense? See, some of you guys, how many of you guys right now are still recovering from mistakes in your life and shame that's in your life and you're dealing with it? It's like, okay, yeah, this message is directly for you. But then there's other people that it's indirectly for people in your life, because God's going to use this message to get through you to them. Does that make sense? Please, because some of you guys will be like, well, you know, Guts is a place that if you, because we put a high value on salvation here. Do you guys realize that? You guys are not getting through the night without there being an altar call. There's going to be an altar call. It is going to be compelling. You're going to have to make a choice. And there's people who go, well, yeah, but I don't know if I'm getting fed. Wait a second. If all you got was a gospel message of salvation, let me tell you, you're going to get stuffed to the gills. You're going to leave like you're leaving the what's that place you like to go to, Chris? Golden Corral. You're going to be... I just ruined it. Chris may not hear another word that I say tonight. How many of you guys, let me just tell you, how many of you guys are man enough to go to Golden Corral with Chris Hart? Can I see your hands? Okay, we need to have a men's night. The Chris Hart, and when I say you got to be man enough, you got to eat with him. Like we go to the Brook. How many of you guys go to the Brook? There's no kale at the Brook. There are no sprouts at the Brook. Everything is deep fried multiple times, and it's so good. How many of you guys are with me at the Brook, okay? It's comfort food. It's not healthy food. You better not go there very often or they're going to be rolling you into church, okay? But Chris has a meal. What do you order, Chris, normally? Southwest chicken nachos. And it's not like you're not eating those chicken nachos with your pinky finger out like this. I mean, you're shoveling it, aren't you, Matt? I mean, it's like they don't give you utensils. They give you like farm implements that come in and help feed you. But Chris doesn't stop. He doesn't just clean his plate. Like Molly's sliding his plate. And then he knows us well enough. He's not saying, hey, Pastor Sandra, you finished with that. He's just reaching across the table, grabbing handfuls of her food that she has ordered. And it's It's like old home week for him. I don't know why I'm talking about that. But the point is that's what this gospel message, that's what the salvation message is. It fills us up. Man, the rest of it is like hors d'oeuvres and appetizers. It's that we get this message to a lost and dying world. Do you guys get a news feed? Do any of you guys get a news feed? Do any of you guys get a notification? Do any of you guys hear what's going on in the world? They need Jesus. It's like, hello, church, wake up. We need you today. That's what the world's saying. And see, we've got to understand that the gospel that we preach, it gives us a measure of faith. And you've been given a measure of faith, and you've been given a measure of faith. And now, faith is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews 11:1, and the evidence of things that were unseen. So that gets goofy like right away. The substance of what we've hoped for. See, because the world's lost hope. It's hopeless. So now what we bring to the table is the substance of what we hope for and the evidence of what we haven't seen. See, and what God does is God gives us this opportunity today to be able to read what's happening in the world and then react to it when it happens in our lives. It happens with people around us. We are built for the storm. See, nobody in here, as long as you've been to this church, you might have heard it at other churches. But let me just tell you, you become a Christian, life just doesn't work out. That's not how it works. It readies you for the storm. It readies you for Kurdistan with ISIS sex slaves that have been impregnated and have babies, and everyone within 1,000 miles of them is going to reject them. And you'll say, well, I don't know. Man, what does the internship really do? It does that. And if it could prepare those three girls for that, and I knew all three of those girls when they first came in here. When they first came in the church, they were not ready for that kind of situation. But I guarantee all three of them, a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months into that internship, they are. Beck, I celebrated you Sunday. I didn't even see you. I had you up here with a mic. Did you see her, Sandy? Becca's right there. You're not sitting with your people. Get with your people. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what we haven't seen. See, let me tell you what the enemy's after. See, the devil hates you. I hate the devil. Will you join me in hating the devil? Okay. He's after your fruitfulness. See, we're thinking, oh, the devil's trying to kill me. He can't kill you. If he could kill you, would you be sitting here breathing right now? See, the devil hates my guts. I'm really hopeful the devil knows my name. I'm hopeful the devil knows what time I get up in the morning, and I hope the devil knows what time I go to bed at night. I hope he knows what I'm ordering for lunch. I hope he knows who I'm going to lunch with. I hope he knows me that well. All right, I really do. Because he's not God. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. He can be at one place at a time. There's over 7 billion people that the devil knows my name is a big deal to me as a Christian. Okay? So the enemy is after our fruitfulness. He can't kill you. So he just wants your life to be fruitless. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to tempt you into that forbidden fruit, so that there's shame that comes on your life, so you're covered with shame, and he heaps shame on you. How about that? I think I just said something significant. Shame on you. I mean, how many guys had a grandmama that, or mama or somebody that said, hey, shame on you? It's like, no shame on you. No, matter of fact, you guys are raising kids. How many of you guys are raising kids? Okay? Your word for your kid is no shame on you. Okay, how about that? John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask whatever you desire and it'll be done for you. Wow. See, this is so incredibly powerful. In John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word and you're my disciples And then he said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Man, you've got to abide in him. You've got to abide in that truth. In the beginning was the Word was with God. The Word was God. We've got to live in the Word. We've got to abide in the Word. Our life is in God's Word. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. There is therefore now no condemnation, Romans 8:1. Man, the Spirit, the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death, from at which the law of sin and death equates to shame. We're not built for shame. If you, what Jesus is saying, if you abide in my word, you have freedom. It equates to freedom. Let me tell you how you break addiction. Okay, you break addiction, like all the things that the world wants to do, all the things that do, you break addiction by filling your life with God's word and not leaving any kind of cavity or gap for the world to get in, for the devil to deceive you. Man, let me tell you something. If you've been an alcoholic, if you've been a drug addict, if you've been addicted to anything, man, you know that forbidden fruit. So don't go there. Don't be around people who do. You can't be with people that could go to that tree and feel good about it. Because there's nobody in this room. Can you go to that tree? Can you go to that forbidden fruit and feel good about yourself and not suffer shame? No, and what is shame going to do? Shame's going to paralyze you. Shame's going to get you to try to cover yourself, and you just look goofy. Man, if you abide in my word, you're going to have freedom. You know, it's interesting because in Genesis 2, when in verse 17, he said, man, you partake of this tree, that day you'll surely die. And the question is, and the title of the message is, did God really say that? Is that really what God meant? Did God really say that everything you put your hand to will prosper? Did he really say that? Did God say that no weapon formed against you can ever take control? Did God say that? Did God say that his mercies are brand new every morning? Did he really say that? Man, did God really say that he'll give you the power to get wealth to establish his covenant? Did he really say that? See, because with God, everything's about covenant. Everything's honor, authority, faith, love, covenant. That's all it is. Did God really say that? Because it gets to the point where in our life, what the devil wants us is frustrated. So, man, it's just the frustration and we vent and anger. None of that stuff's going to set us free. Well, I've got to get this off my chest. No, you don't. Because all you getting it off your chest is doing is giving those words power. You're giving those words dominion. You eat good the fruit that comes out of your mouth. Well, I got to tell you, you hurt me. It's like, I know I hurt people. That's what we all do. We go through life and hurt each other. So what do you need to get off your chest? God, I forgive him. Father, forgive him. He knows not what he does. Because freedom is at stake. Are you hearing me? I can't pastor a church with people that are all bound. And everything you're bound by is in your past. And Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what those things which lie behind, and I press toward the mark of the high calling, the prize of the mark, the prize of the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. How many of you guys want the prize? How many of you guys live for the prize? Man, I press toward the prize of the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But our inner dialogue has to be disciplined. We have to discipline our thought life. We have to discipline the conversation we have with ourselves. You know, that conversation where it'll come up and, oh, it's terminal, it's incurable, there's no hope. It'll never work out. You'll never make it. It'll never change. I'm a failure. No, who does God say that I am? That's all I care. Who does God say I am? Because I'm his child. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. What does Romans 8:4 say? Romans 8:1 says there's therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And Romans 2 says Romans 8:2 says that the Spirit of the law of Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. And verse 4 says that there's therefore now, man, the Spirit, that there's no, we live in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because if we feed the Spirit, if we sow to the Spirit, it's life and peace. If we sow to the flesh, it's death. And I want life and peace. I choose life and peace. I choose life and peace, God. God, I thank you today. So I can't sow after the flesh. So I've got to watch what I say. My words are seed. And Jesus didn't hang on that cross and say, hey, I got to tell you guys, you really hurt me. I got to get this off my chest. It bothers me. No, you know what? Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, man, I got to get this off my chest. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Is that awesome? Who's God say I am? See, we're going to read Colossians. And if I'd ask you guys, and it's probably a minimal percentage of men in the room, how many of you guys have read through the book of Colossians at one sitting? There's a few. Let's make it everybody. Let's bring context to the content. Yeah, but it's 6:30. You know what I'll tell you? I'll have somebody here reading at 6:30 p.m. if you can't get up in the morning. I'm not kidding you. It doesn't matter to me. I just want the context and the content to be able to. So you throw some haymakers. I mean, start knocking devils out. These signs will follow those who believe, who live in the truth. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak in new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. God, I just thank you for your word. God, I thank you for who you are and what you're doing in this place. God, I thank you for your loving kindness, your long suffering, and God, the trust that you've laid in our lap to fulfill your purpose and your call on our lives in Jesus' name.